Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's time for headlines here as this week just continues to drag, right? It's like waiting for Christmas morning for Sunday right here on The Fan.
I can't wait for this weekend, and it's just dragging by. What is it, Thursday?
Yeah.
It feels like it's Sunday already. It feels like it's been that long. It's a dragging by week. I need tomorrow to get here. Saturday, just blow through Saturday, skip Saturday.
Tony Pollard with the foot was a full participant in yesterday's practice. Tyron with the knee and the ankle, along with Keon O'Neal, were limited. Trent Williams did not practice. Ed Werder said he spoke with Trent, the all-world left tackle, and said he does intend to play Sunday, believing that a brace and adrenaline will offset any remaining issues. Micah Parsons, back from his COVID issues, said he had some fatigue and some muscle aches and was asked how many more muscle aches he's going to have with the idea that San Francisco is going to push the Cowboys defense around.
No, you can't. I was having fun with the guys, and I was telling them, like, I'm from Harrisburg, where the bullies get bullied, you know what I'm saying? So there's a bully in every gym. There's a bully everywhere you go. But at one point, it's going to take someone to stand up and fight. And I ain't never backed down from a challenge, so I would never say you can bully a line, ever.
Micah said, obviously, the key is to stop the run and then let the monsters eat on third down. And DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, DeMarcus is going to have a funny, confident response. He said, look, I feel like you can only play bully ball when you own the situation. When you're up 14-0, if it's a tight game, I don't think they'll be able to play bully ball all game long. They like attacking the edge. We like setting edges. So we're going to see how it goes. Well, they did still play bully ball against the Rams down 17-0.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. They did. Now, you know, the other side is that, you know, they ran, just because they ran the ball well against the Rams doesn't mean they'll run it well against the Cowboys. The Cowboys had more yards per carry this year than San Fran did. Now, the difference is that, you know, San Fran doesn't use their quarterback to run really at all. So they're doing most of this just with their running backs. The key is, and he talks about setting the edge, and, you know, San Fran, if they can't get to the edge, they will cut upfield. They will square their shoulders, they will cut upfield, and you cannot over-pursue this team. If you over-pursue this team, you are screwed. They are going to, it's basically, you know, like mid-2000s Broncos. They would churn out a different running back, right? Didn't matter who it was. Portis, Gary, Nick, was it Nick Anderson? Whoever it was.
I was on,
I thought there was a Nick Anderson too. It doesn't matter who it was. They were going to rush for 1,000 yards, right?
Might have been CJ Anderson.
Maybe.
You talking about all the Broncos backs?
But I'm not talking about CJ Anderson that was on the title team. I'm talking about the ones from, like,
yeah,
you know, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. So, like, they had a bunch of guys. It didn't matter who it was. And this is a lot. There's a lot of similarities here with the kind that they're going to run.
Tickets are apparently going through the roof. Sum up to 5 times the face value. That's why turning it on, leaving it on, being a Tolo is going to pay off. Because at some point in time from 7 to 9 a.m. this morning, we're giving you tickets to the game with the parking pass. On StubHub and Ticketmaster, some lower-level seats near the 50 are apparently approaching $4,000 apiece. $4,000 apiece. Standing room only, $180, $250 with taxes and fees. The cheapest seat, $320. Cheapest seat in the lower bowl, $750. So thanks to AT&T 5G, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets for free.
Ooh.
for free,
man,
with the parking pass.
It just doesn't happen.
How's Jerry going to try to cram 100K in here? He tried to do that for the Super Bowl. That was a disaster.
Well, I mean, they'll use the party pass. You know, like the, I think there's like 90,000 seats here anyway, 85,000 seats. But then when you the party pass, I mean, they've had well over 100,000 in the stadium, as he would say, stadium.
Yeah, the record was against the Giants in 2009.
That's 103, right?
105.
105.
105, 121.
Mike Anderson was the running
back. Mike Anderson.
Bobby Belt, thank you. The New York Giants held a delayed non-live press conference where reporters were not asked, they were not allowed to ask a follow-up question in terms of why Joe Judge was fired. Here's one of the co-owners talking about the Giants getting rid of another head coach.
There is nothing more painful to me than making that long walk down the hallway to tell somebody, particularly a good person like Joe, that we're making a change. It's gut-wrenching for me. It's been gut-wrenching every time I've had to do it. And obviously, I've had to do it far too often. That's why we're in this process again, and we're going to get it right this time.
Well, I think they're starting off on the right foot. They're saying we are looking outside the organization. So far, their list of new GM candidates, and they're going to hire the GM first, which is probably the way you should do it. They're all not people to be promoted from within. That's usually the Giants' way.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, because of the way they fired Joe Judge, that has led some to believe that they are not going to make that same decision. There was a guy that everybody thought was going to be the next one, and he was a Joe Judge guy. He was on Team Joe Judge. And the thought was if he got the job, Joe would have stayed. But maybe now it means they're going to go outside the organization, and that's something they really should do.
How about this story out of Buffalo?
Let's go, Buffalo.
In getting ready for the Patriots in 4-degree weather, Sean McDermott has his team practicing inside.
Oh, man. I mean, that's a tough guy. A tough guy, Sean McDermott, practicing indoors. I love it.
What would we do? Remember our saga with Jason Garrett and that?
Yep. Jason was practicing indoors. And the reason that Jason practiced indoors is because the analytics team told him to practice indoors. Safety, more work done, yada, yada, yada.
Get someone sick?
What's that?
You don't get someone sick, maybe? Oh,
yeah. Sure. I mean, there's probably a lot of factors that go in there. You know, however, you know, you could say from Buffalo's perspective, you know, Josh Allen throws for over 340 yards a game when it's 75 degrees or more and throws for about 150 or less when it's below freezing. Now, I guess it's also because it's cold and you don't throw as much when it's that cold and windy in Buffalo. But he's put tough guy, defensive-minded Sean McDermott, whose defense is basically number one in every category. Not practicing outdoors.
Six-game winning streak was on the line for the Mavericks as they went into the Garden without Porzingis and without Jason Kidd. Both in COVID protocols, they got whipped.
Quickly over the top lob, Barrett down the lane, reverse jam. Randall right of the lane, up top for Barrett, into a three-pointer, knocks it down. Barrett, right corner, step back for three, knocks it down to beat the shot clock. Another 30-point game at the Garden for Barrett.
That was the call on Knicks radio. This thing was over early, 108-85. Luka, 21 points. No other Maverick scored over 14. It was Brick City, as Jalen Brunson was the only other player to have 14 points. That's it. 14-21. That's how you end up scoring 85 as the Mavs right now, the fifth seed in the West.
It was a terrible performance. And I went and looked. Luka, there may be a Madison Square Garden issue with Luka Doncic. He is just a 24% three-point shooter at the Garden. The only game where he shot better than 25% from deep was last year, a COVID year, where they didn't have fans in the stands, and he was 37%. A little, maybe it's he didn't let the Garden. Maybe you don't have to worry about the Knicks being the team that he goes to.
Yeah.
That could be it. Never know.
The Stars beat down the Kraken last night at the AAC. They got a 5-point night from Joe Pavelski, the 37-year-old, getting it done Have we checked out and evaluated the Kraken's uniforms?
The uniforms are great. The team?
No.
Let's just say Vegas had a better first year.
Yeah. Didn't they go to the finals?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Kraken are like 10 and 30 or something like that, or 10 and 20.
Yeah. So last night, great night for the Stars as they end up winning 5-2. 877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. 877-881-1053. Over to college football, you picking apart the way too early top 25 that is coming out, kind of looking at some of these local teams as your school rejecting kids that played in the national championship.
Yeah, you know, the guy who caught the game-winning touchdown for Georgia, Mitchell, you know, just happened to be filming himself outside Tennessee Stadium begging Jeremy Pruitt to be there, to come on the team. He was from he's from the state.
As a walk-on?
No, he was like a 3- or 4-star recruit. And the guy was like, "Nah." Jerry's like, "No, we don't want him. He's diabetic. We don't want him. We want this other guy."
He couldn't have been anti-diabetic.
That's what the story said. That's what the story said.
That really because he was a diabetic.
They went with another guy who they thought was comparable because he didn't have any underlying health issues.
Wow.
Which, you know, it's 2022, guys. You know, we have medicines now.
Yeah.
Okay. Madame Curie helped the world out quite a bit, but. Yeah, so, yeah, forget that. This, Troy Hughes, your Texas A&M Aggies might be a top four team next year to start the year.
That's right.
Four.
They've already kind of got the...
You sit over there in your Texas Tech jersey, Sean.
The projections on where these teams will start the year, and A&M starting the year at number four.
I'll take that.
Oklahoma State at number nine. Let's see. Houston at 13. Look at that. The Cougars. Baylor at 16. OU at 17. I do not see the University of Texas on this list.
Probably not. DC's your sports book. They actually have A&M at 25-1 to win the national championship next year, tied with Oklahoma and USC.
Really?
That's a little high for USC.
A&M's road to the title is going to be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to go through Ole Miss and Alabama and Auburn and LSU. And I don't know who they play from the East next year. They might play Georgia or Florida for all we know. That's not going to be easy.
Miami? I can't remember. I've got a look.
Miami is not in the SEC.
Not the SEC. Sorry.
By the way, some other NBA rumors. Yesterday, Woj reported that they're still at a stalemate. Ben Simmons met with the team and the agent, and he's still not any closer to playing. The 76ers, according to a report, have no interest in trading Ben Simmons for Russell Westbrook. Thank you, Athletic, for reporting that. And then, apparently, Kyrie Irving can play in Brooklyn's home games as long as they're willing to pay a $5,000 fine.
What?
That came out yesterday? Yeah. That's crazy.
It's crazy to me. It is literally crazy to me. Like, this is not so this was never about health and safety for the city of New York. But New York and San Francisco had these rules in place. You can't play an indoor sporting event. You can't go to one or play in one if you're not vaccinated. So now it's just that, well, you can't play in one if you're not vaccinated unless you pay us $5,000?
First offense, warning. Second offense, $1,000 fine. Third offense, $2,000. Fourth offense, $5,000. Fifth offense to infinity offenses, $5,000. So for 16 home playoff games, that would cost them $78,000. Why have they not been paying this? That question has to be asked today, or was it asked last night as the Nets beat the number one seed Bulls? Why haven't you been paying this fine, and are you going to pay it?
I don't know. I don't know why they haven't been paying it. Are they going to pay it? Of course they are.
Yeah.
They have to pay this. You could do load management with them as much as you want, but come down to it, when it comes to the playoffs, you've got to pay this one.
All right. Autoflex CC Fantex is wide open. We're live on the fan cam, and we are live on the Twitch stream as well for all of the Tuolos. Now, some people are asking, Troy, if they can win these tickets if they're out of state. Like, you can win them, and then you make the trip. You should be able to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we have the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're a Tolo here in the Metroplex, North Texas, Texas, or wherever in the great USA, you got to be an American. That's the rule.
No.
Is that not the rule?
I don't know.
I thought that was the rule. But, no, yeah, anyone and everyone can win these tickets.
All right, so anytime from now up until 9 a.m., just listen Dak Prescott is going to let you know when you've won these tickets as a Tolo of 105.3 The Fan. But we keep talking about, oh, what new plays, what surprises will Kellen Moore and this offense have? Bobby Belt says that Dan Quinn may have some surprises for San Francisco on Sunday. Our Cowboys insider joins us on Sean and RJ next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Who is this guy that you tweeted out yesterday, the San Fran assistant with these glasses? What did you say? He was a Napster nerd?
A Napster nerd. No. So I was going through some San Fran stuff, just kind of looking over the game, and then I came across our offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel, who looks...
This guy's the OC?
He is their offensive coordinator. Wow. And he looks like a cross between Logic the rapper and Rodrigo Blankenship the kicker. I mean, this guy has the most nerdiest look you can think of when you're thinking of a guy that should not be in the NFL. But when you hear him speak, okay, I'm a little worried. He's got a little too big of a football brain on him.
And Andrew Hawkins, who we know played in the NFL, said, I promise you there is not a brighter mind in the league.
Yeah, he looks like Ruben from Road Trip. That's what he looks like.
Wow. Good reference.
All right, let's bring in Cowboys Insider to find out what they were saying at the Star yesterday to get ready for San Fran. Bobby Belt here on Sean and RJ, DFW Sports Station, and your home of America's team. Are you familiar with this guy, this offensive coordinator?
Yeah, he's been around the league for a while. He's kind of followed Kyle Shanahan around. But I mean, he's a smart guy. He's a Yale graduate. He's been around the NFL since he was, I think, like 21, started in Denver, I think, when Mike Shanahan was still there, like he was an intern. But he's a sharp guy. I mean, that clip that was kind of going around yesterday was, you know, just kind of a brilliant example of him, where he talks about that they kind of pitch back instead of an outside run. Like typically we see a pitch, it's going to the outside, but they will sometimes pitch back when they're running directly inside. And he talked about how that's a subtlety where they're just trying to get the defense off by hair. They see the pitch, they start flowing outside a little bit, and then they have to bring back. So, yeah, he looks for a lot of those small intricacies. I mean, there's a reason why Kyle Shanahan trusts him so much and has brought him everywhere. And so, yeah, he's a guy who's going to be a big name to know as a head coaching candidate into the future.
Does one side have a coaching advantage in this game?
Man, when you hear Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan talk about it, they both have referenced just how different they both are since the last time that they kind of saw each other. I think that that's where this is going to come down to, is the Kyle Shanahan, Dan Quinn chess match. Now, if you're talking to me about head coaches and Kyle Shanahan versus Mike McCarthy, I think San Francisco has a clear advantage in that department. But, you know, I think that's where this is really going to come down to, is that chess match between how is Kyle Shanahan going to attack Dan Quinn? What kind of tendencies is he going to look for? And how is Dan Quinn going to respond to that? I know the Cowboys are very confident that Dan Quinn can win that chess match, and they're confident in their guy. And I'm sure that San Francisco is the same way. They're confident that Kyle Shanahan is going to be able to draw it up. But that's the chess match, I think, that bears watching on Sunday.
You hearing any different things that Dan Quinn could be planning? We keep talking about what San Francisco is going to do. Could they just come out throwing in a very opposite Bill Belichick type move when everyone is anticipating the run? Anything different that Quinn could be plotting?
So I've heard a little bit of this going back to December, because you got to remember Dan Quinn didn't get, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, Neville Gallimore, and Mike Parsons on the field together until December 12th. Against the against Washington, the Washington football team.
He almost
careful there.
I know. I don't want to get canceled in week three here. A lot of the last month was a ramp up, I think, for that group. And the sense I've gotten from people is that Dan Quinn was building things towards the playoffs and getting things ready for where he was going to dial up some new blitz concepts with that group, and he was going to try and do some different things with the pass rush and maybe give you some different looks and coverage. And so, at the very least, I think we're going to see things that haven't been used very often this year, but it sounds like there's going to be some stuff in this game from just a X's and O's perspective from Dan Quinn and the way he likes to blitz and bring the pass rush. It sounds like there's going to be some different things in this game and heading into these next couple of weeks. I don't know how much we're going to see on the offensive side of the ball. Things change very much. Kellen Moore kind of, I think, bristled at that a little bit and pushed back against the idea of changing too much of what they do. But Dan Quinn, I definitely think we're going to see not like a complete overhaul, but you're going to see some differences and throw some things at him that they haven't seen yet.
How is San Fran running on the Rams D line? Like, compare that to the Cowboys defensive line, and then you throw Mike in at linebackers. I assume linebackers going to be the spot that he's going to play most in this game. This seems like a Micah game, but you know, like, that Rams front's pretty good. They were still able to move the ball.
Yeah, that Rams defense is good, and they've been, I think they were top five in yards per attempt allowed against the run. And so, yeah, that's a good front, and it just goes to show how good San Francisco is at getting creative running the ball. To me, that's the thing, is that this isn't just, oh, they run the ball and they're really good at it, and they have a really good blocking, run blocking offensive line. They probably have the best run blocking offensive line in the NFL. Specifically, their tackles are great at it. Trent Williams, if you can get him in this game, is damn near perfect at run blocking. And so, it's tough because of the way that they run the ball, the creativity that they use. It's not just that they're talented at it. They do it in a very different way. We just talked a little bit ago about that, you know, just that subtlety of pitching the ball back for an inside run. Those are the types of advantages they look for, and they do a lot of different things with eye candy. And I mean, George Kittle has three carries this year. Ayuk, Debo Samuel, they both have it. But I like the mindset of Micah Parsons and the Cowboys defense in approaching that run game this week. And I thought it was good that, Sean, you pointed this out, I think, in the 6 o'clock hour, that
Tolo.
Tolo, 6 a.m. club. So the fact that Micah Parsons, the fact that these guys are talking like they are very much hearing the talk of the physicality issue, and that, you know, that there's a time where you want them to block out the noise. I think this is a time where it's good for them to hear it a little bit. And I think Dan Quinn's harping on that with them this week, from what I've heard, is that, you know, they are really honing in on, look, the way we match this physicality, we've got to make sure we're on our own physicality this week. And Micah Parsons said yesterday, when you see Debo Samuel in the backfield, you've got to treat him like a running back, but that means he's got to get hit like a running back too. And so that we need to make sure that he's getting brought to the ground just like everybody else. So I like the mindset, and you know, it's going to be a tough matchup for them, just like it was for the Rams. But I think that they're approaching this with the right mindset heading into this game.
How are they looking health-wise?
So Jayron Kearse has been a big question this week because we haven't been able to see him land on the injury report because he's been in COVID protocols. I think he's coming back from COVID protocols today. So you should have him for this practice today, which is the Thursday practice, and that's their biggest preparation practice. That hamstring, from everything I've heard, he'll be ready to go and that he should be good to play. And that'll be big because, just like Chop was talking about, Micah playing some more snaps at linebacker, if you're able to get Jayron Kearse back and he's able to play kind of that hybrid role and disguise into then playing in the box or playing linebacker, essentially, that will free up Micah Parsons to do more stuff pass rushing. And so, you know, even though you're a little thin there right now, Francis Bernard was back at linebacker this week. He's, you know, he was a limited participant yesterday, but I think he should be good to go. So you're going to have some more bodies there at linebacker, and that should free up Micah Parsons a little bit, especially with Jayron Kearse coming back. Ezekiel Elliott told us yesterday he's getting close to 100%. He said he's not dealing with stiffness any longer in that knee. That's a big deal. Said he's still going to wear that knee brace into the playoffs because it hasn't bugged him. And so just as an extra measure, an extra caution, he's going to keep going with it. And then I thought it was interesting. I heard y'all mention Tyron Smith last segment that, you know, he's dealing, he was on the injury report with knee and ankle injuries, and he's dealt with knee and ankles for much of the second half of the season. But it was a little interesting to me, the designation yesterday was for both knee and ankle, because even though he's dealt with the knee, his designation for the last month on the injury report has said ankle, and it hasn't had knee on there. And so I thought that was a little weird, but I checked around yesterday on if the knee was causing him any more trouble this week, and I was told, no, he's good to go. He's ready to go on Sunday. Don't have to worry about Tyron Smith. He'll just, like a lot of guys this year, he'll be dealing with pain management the rest of the way, but that he'll be good to go for this game against the 49ers.
Are we not talking, I know they were yesterday in the presser, are we not talking about Nick Bosa enough?
Probably not, because, I mean, he's very, very good. Now, the thing is that Zeke had talked about, just like you mentioned, Zeke talked about how similar they were, that Nick and Joey Bosa. And they had a pretty good game plan for Joey Bosa when they played the Chargers in week two. And that was without Lyle Collins. That was with Terrence Steele in there. And they were able to do some things. But, you know, Zeke talked about they're very similar in the way that they use their hands and their athleticism. And they're almost carbon copies of each other. So I think you can game plan for him a little bit similarly to the way that you game plan for Joey Bosa, which was, you know, they had extra tight ends to that side, tried to force him out a little bit more wide, got some chips in there, things like that. And so, yeah, but still, Nick Bosa is a very, very good player. I mean, he was right up there with the TJ Watts and, you know, Myles Garrett and Robert Quinn in terms of guys who were really affecting quarterbacks from the pass rush perspective. So, yeah, that's going to be a big deal because that offensive line's got to be better. If you want to turn this into a passing game, if you can turn this into a track meet, you are going to beat San Francisco, just bottom line. And so I think if you want that advantage of your quarterback is better than their quarterback, and take advantage of some of the issues that I think San Francisco has in their secondary, you are going to need to protect Dak. So that's going to be a very big deal, is neutralizing Nick Bosa a little bit. But they've got good pass rushers. Eric Armstead's pretty good. Arden Keyes had, you know, a bit of a resurgence here in San Francisco. So
because we're kind of just assuming they're throwing Tyron back out there.
Yeah, their secondary is their issue though, right? Like, you know, if they can, like you said, neutralize their pass rush, you know, their secondary is not very, very good at all.
Yeah, they give up some chunk plays. Now, they were, you know, pretty good in terms of on an efficiency basis. I had said this earlier this week. They are the only team in the NFL that on offense averages 7 yards or more net yards per attempt. And they're, you know, also on defense allows fewer than 6 net yards per attempt. So on an efficiency basis, it looks pretty good. But, I mean, they will give up some chunk plays there in the secondary. And they will have some trouble guarding these guys. I think Broadus had a really good idea this week, and I think it's something we may see from them. Get in some max protect looks, hit some play action, just, you know, two routes down the field, trust your guys, CD, Coop, to win their routes. And I think that you'll see them take some shots, hopefully early. I would actually, if they win the toss, I know everybody loves to defer to the second half, try and score at the end of the first half, get the ball back to start third. I'd take the ball if I was Dallas. Get out there, try to score, put pressure on them. Don't let Kyle Shanahan, I think Michael Irvin said this yesterday, don't let Kyle Shanahan get the ball to start the game and come out with a 14-play, 75-yard drive, and it's 8 minutes into the first quarter before you're touching the ball. I don't think you can do that.
You talked about a track meet, high-scoring affair. Bobby Belt here on The Fan. What about up-tempo? What's the plan for it now?
I think that's exactly the plan. I think you come out, you push the ball early, and you try and get them on their heels, get them a little bit out of their comfort zone. Look, they know on both sides of the ball, like we've talked about, they know that physicality is an issue and that is the headline in this game, is that if San Francisco is able to play their game, you probably lose. If you're able to play your game, you probably win. It's all about who's going to get into their style. Finesse versus physicality. Who's going to be able to set the tempo of this game? And I think Kellen Moore knows that. Mike McCarthy knows that. Dan Quinn knows that. And so I think there's a big emphasis on get them out of their game. On offense, it's tempo, push the ball downfield, take some shots early, get Amari Cooper. I don't think this is a game where we see Amari Cooper not get his first target till 2 minutes into the first quarter like Arizona. I think that this is a game where they're going to try and work Amari Cooper in early and do some things with him. And on defense, I think, you know, Micah had talked about this. The big money downs for them are going to be first and second down. Make sure they get in third and long, force them to pass, unleash the pass rushers, and force Jimmy Garoppolo into some mistakes. Other than Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo has the highest interception percentage of any quarterback in the playoffs. And so that's going to be a key. Force him to beat you with his arm, because I know the Cowboys believe if this turns into a game between the two quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo cannot hang with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
I love you all.
Bobby Belt here on Sean and RJ as our new Cowboys insider, 105.3 The Fan. Is Mike McCarthy as a coach with the personality a yes man, a drill sergeant, fake tough, sitcom dad, and which one should these NFL teams be hiring for all these different openings around the rest of the NFL with the Cowboy playoff ticket giveaway happening at any moment right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one problem, apparently, with my confidence in the Cowboys winning this because of the quarterback advantage. We'll get to it at 8 o'clock this morning here on Sean and RJ. The playoff ticket giveaway is coming up anytime between now and 9 a.m. AT&T 5G is sending you to the game. A pair of tickets with a parking pass anytime between now and 9. Dak Prescott is going to let you know himself when to call at 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantex here on Sean and RJ. But let's update the openings throughout the league. How many job openings are there?
Six?
Seven.
Are we counting the Raiders?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I guess we don't have to. I mean,
that's fair.
Rich Bisaccia, I mean, you could make an easy case for him with how that team could have fallen apart. It feels like Mark Davis, the owner, wants a rock star name, though, with the Jim Harbaugh rumors, what he did with John Gruden, and obviously Rich Bisaccia is not a star. But you have the Giants, Dolphins, Jacksonville, Denver, Minnesota, Chicago, and the Raiders eventually, we think. Or we can keep it to six.
Albert Breer said something interesting yesterday that the, and I agree with him, the Jags job is the best job, and that's GM aside, because they don't like the GM. But the division, and it's the one with the quarterback. Maybe. We don't know. But it's got the best upside, they think. I agree. I wonder how many coaches actually agree, though. And that's the key. It's Kellen Moore, if he's in line for that job, if Byron Leftwich is in line for that job, they really think it's the best job. It all depends on what you think of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, we need the Athletic or something to do, and it's only after 1 year, but like a full scouting report on Trevor Lawrence. Is he still like the chosen one?
Some of the people that are out there think that he is not processing defenses as fast as he did at Clemson.
28th in QBR this year, 33.6. 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 17th. In yards.
It's like a Terry Bradshaw season, 12 touchdowns, 17 picks.
Well, a little different league, maybe. I don't know. They have a running game. But look, you can't avoid and ignore the GM. So
no, you can't.
Albert Breer's point is kind of inaccurate. Trent Baalke is supposed to be a guy that people don't like and don't want to work with. So you got to factor that in right now. And look, you want to say it's the Denver job. Can you say that with no quarterback? As we think Dan Quinn is probably going to the Broncos.
Yeah.
So how do you look at the rest of them from top to bottom?
If you get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers in Denver, then that's the best job.
Yeah.
But
Or Deshaun Watson.
But outside of that, like, why, I'm not going to go play Patty and Justin Herbert and Derek Carr six times a year. I mean, I'm going to a gunfight with a knife. I mean, I'd rather go to Minnesota, for crying out loud.
How about, so you think Jacksonville's the best job if you had to?
Well, I mean, I think it's the job with the most upside because of the quarterback. We don't know about him. But,
And the division.
The division, I mean, they could easily be the best team in the division in 2 years if Trevor hits. Well, that's the risk you got to take. Trevor's got to hit. He's got to hit. The Giants' job could be a great job if they get Russell Wilson. It'd be a great job.
Miami if they get Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Great job. You know? So there's a lot of... All these teams are one player away. They're all one player away from competing for something. At least the playoffs.
All right, what about the coach personality thing?
All right, so this is good. This was this is from Mike Tanier that I found, Football Outsiders, the types of personality traits that all these NFL coaches have. So, type one, and it's kind of a humorous type article.
Okay.
Half joking about this. But the first one is the upbeat source of good-natured wisdom. They call it the sitcom dad.
Okay.
You're the sitcom dad kind of coach.
Upbeat source.
Yeah. They got a little bit of tough love. You need a kick in the fanny. But they're also like, you know, the kind of...
I think that's Dan Quinn.
I agree.
Upbeat, fun-loving, Micah Parsons' uncle, you know, could seem like he you know, give you a kick in the rear end, but you don't hate him because of it. I think that's Dan Quinn.
Yeah. I think it could be Dan Quinn. I think Kellen Moore is also later on this list. The other one is the drill sergeant. That's the Tom Coughlin, the Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
They've got that like gruff exterior.
Brian Flores.
There may be a heart of gold somewhere in there, but they'll never let you see it. Huh. That kind of guy.
All right.
They're very, very smart. They're usually a defensive minded individual.
And by the way, The jobs, I know Mike Vrabel is going to get coach of the year, and I think he should. The jobs that Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton did this year, mind-blowing. For Mike Tomlin to get that team and that offense and that quarterback to the playoffs in that division, that's a hell of a job. And Sean Payton... With what they went through, with all the different quarterbacks, no Michael Thomas, Kamara out 4 times, 9-8, second in the division, man, that's coaching.
Yeah, they were 5-2 when Jameis got hurt.
To be 5-2 with Jameis, you could say is a heck of a job.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jameis is, I mean, he's not Trevor Siemian, right? Yeah. Like, there's a difference. He's the number one pick. It's not Trevor Siemian, so it's obviously... It'd be really impressive to go 5-2 with Trevor Siemian. But no, yeah, I mean, both those guys did really good jobs this year. They call it the Dime Store Machiavelli. The Bill Belichick wannabes.
Oh, Joe Judge.
Yep.
Joe Judge getting a pizza and beer delivered to his house yesterday.
This is a great write-up. Most Belichick cosplayers... take their leadership cues from a cartoon supervillain like Skeletor rather than from any Hall of Fame coach or Renaissance philosopher. Yet NFL owners strangely are enamored with this personality type because they always think they're hiring a master strategist, not someone who will devote 95% of his mental energy to blaming his team's, you know, 46-point loss on the assistant weight room's sanitizer. So that's the Belichick type. Harry High School.
Uh-oh.
Rah-rah, sis-boom-ba, Pete Carroll, Nick Sirianni. We're like potted plants, man.
The cheerleader.
And we're growing. The roots are growing. The roots, man. So that's like, they're like the sitcom dad who also is that rah-rah guy.
Yeah.
Okay. The executive material. The write-up. Sean McVay and his cronies or clones all present themselves as central casting NBA candidates. Young, fit, well-groomed, white as baking flour and bristling with innovative ideas that sound identical to everyone else's innovative ideas.
Matt LaFleur. Zach Taylor, maybe. Yep.
It says, many McVayers are enjoying success right now that is sure to yield diminishing returns.
Many McVayers. Kingsbury.
Yep.
Shanahan.
Absolutely. They love the interview process of finding the kid, the player. The next one is the CEO type. This is the Andy Reid, the Marty Schottenheimer. I think this is where McCarthy would fit in.
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard McCarthy yet.
I haven't either. I think this is where he would fit in. Most college and NFL transplants market themselves as CEO types, then crash quickly. This is like a combination of the sitcom dad, the drill sergeant, all rolled into one. The next one, the yes man. They officially write Jason Garrett and David Culley. Someone overpromoted or overgroomed from within the organization to do the boring stuff that the meddlesome owner can't be bothered with. And that's coaching the football team.
Okay.
And then finally, the Captain Caveman, the Dan Campbell, the 10,000 BC version of a drill sergeant. And that is basically what it is. You know, like they're literally the ideal Mike Ditka without all the other baggage that comes with Mike Ditka.
And speaking of Siri, I didn't hear Arians mentioned. Which one do you think Bruce Arians is? Like the drill sergeant uncle? You can see him joking around, having a cigar with you, but also he'll cuss you out. He was talking about their matchup against Filthy this weekend.
Once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. So they're going to be fired up. They got a ton of weapons, and they look pretty healthy. It's a totally different football team than we played back there in October.
Okay. Something is altering my thinking about this game, and it's giving me hope that the Eagles can actually win. And yes, y'all, I don't want to fight about this. It's not up for debate. You have to root for the Eagles to win this game. Got to.
The Eagles won!
And at 9, after Babe Laufenberg, I'm going to tell you why I'm having some hope. I just said automatically Tampa. They're moving on. But there's a factor in this game that's starting to kind of creep around this stadium in Tampa, as right now it's an 8.5-point spread.
How about cut as a break, God?
But you agree with me, we're rooting for Philly.
Yeah. I don't want any.
I mean, if you can get a second.
I don't want any excuses.
If you can get a second home game here.
Yeah, I shouldn't even say excuses. I don't want any buts.
Like what? Their whole title run. You always say nobody remembers the buts.
No, nobody remembers the buts. So I remember the buts.
No, you don't.
I look at them.
Okay.
I don't want to say, but yeah, you made the NFC Championship game. But you know, Brady got knocked out. You got a gift.
Oh, you want to be Corey Majors here? You want to be tough guy path?
I am tough guy.
No, you're not. No, you are easy shortcut guy.
I am a shortcut guy. There's no doubt about that.
So take the shortcut.
Yeah, I work smarter, not harder. Is that the meme?
Yes.
Yeah, but no, I agree. Yes, absolutely. You have to.
Right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and try to get the lower seeds advancing so you can get the second round game in Arlington. And who thinks that, you know, the Eagles are actually better than Tampa Bay? So we'll get into the rest of the games and what upsets could happen at 9. But I wanted this, I guess, more so than anyone else. I wanted San Fran. And the main reason is the QB advantage. There's one thing that may screw that up, though, for number 4. We'll tell you about it, along with our Cowboys playoff ticket giveaway happening at any moment. Just listen for Dak on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.